This week, the Working Tools podcast is on the road at the Conference of Grandmasters of North America, being held right here in Seattle, Washington. So our format's a little different. We're going to have a series of short interviews with the attendees. We hope you enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, brethren all, welcome to the Working Tools podcast, a casual conversation around Freemasonry. First, it's important to note that our thoughts and opinions are our own and do not reflect those of our Grand Lodge or respective craft or concordant bodies. Please connect with us and ask questions via our website at theworkingtoolspodcast.com.
So here on day three of the Conference of Grandmasters in Seattle, we have the opportunity to interview a brother from Germany. So, sir, would you please introduce yourself?
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. And it's a great pleasure for me. I'm Brother Arda from Germany. I am the Senior Grand Warden of the American-Canadian Grand Lodge, which is one of the five Grand Lodges in Germany. We have a pretty unique constellation in Germany. There are five Grand Lodges, and we are one of them. And is the American Canadian Grand Lodge, the British Freemasons, the Three World Globes, then the AF and AM, and the Freimaurer Orden, which is the Order Grand Lodge. And these five Grand Lodges, they have an umbrella organization above it, and it's the so-called United Grand Lodge of Germany. But all the five Grand Lodges have their Grand Masters, and they're independent from that umbrella organization. But to answer your question, yeah, 38 years old, turning 39 in June. That's my first time at the Conference of Grandmasters of North America. It's great to be here, and I'm really looking forward to be an active part of the conference as well. And I hope, and I wish, and I think that many important topics are being discussed regarding the future of Freemasonry. And I think we need to be active as a brotherhood. And my personal opinion is to find the right balance of being true to our ancient landmarks, but also to be open and to be public. But I think that's what makes us so special, to find this right balance and to be able to do the spagat of being public, but being still secret and about our rituals, yeah. Very interesting.
I think that sums up my whole philosophy about Masonry, so I think we could almost end the interview.
Oh, glad to hear that.
So you said there are five different Masonic Grand Lodges that work together, so they all play nicely together? They all are all...
Yeah, sure. Yeah, exactly, because that what makes us so special is, so you can't find in every five Grand Lodge what you are looking for, especially like... We are covering more the maybe English-speaking lodges. Well, our focus is more on English-speaking, not only, which is also something which is very special. English-speaking, of course, American, English, but also in our Grand Lodge, we have five Turkish-speaking lodges, nine French-speaking lodges. We had one Italian, and but we are working it to consecrate it again. And the Grand Master, actually our Grand Master, Most Worshipful Brother Luis Baez, is working on a Spanish-speaking traveling lodge. And we also, of course, have in Germany one German-speaking lodge. Yeah. So, yeah, there is, every Grand Lodge has its own focus, and our focus is more the diversity, more the also other languages to bring them together. And the ACGL, where I'm a member of, is... very special for me in my heart as well, because my mother lodge is a Turkish-speaking lodge, and it was the first Turkish-speaking lodge which was formed 1993 under the ACGL, and back then already the ACGL opened their hearts, the brethren opened their hearts to be diverse, and they were mainly only American brethren there present due to active military or retired military. And that was back then the history, but now it is very diverse. So our Grand Lodge brings together different religions, different languages, and that's why I'm so proud of that. Yeah.
That's terrific. Yes.
Do you all have different standard works or different rituals that you perform then as well?
Yes. All the Grand Lodges have different rituals, and ours is a mix of Connecticut, New York, And the third one I just forgot. I'm so sorry about that. But it's a mix of those two Grand Lodges, the standard work. The Turkish-speaking lodges, they are approved to use the Turkish Grand Lodge ritual in Turkey. And that's the ritual they use. Yeah. We also have a Canadian ritual, which is also approved under the ACGL. And yeah.
Well, interesting. Yeah, we in Washington, we have one.
Yeah, okay. So,
and I know, talking frequently with our brothers to the north in British Columbia, they have, I think, four different rituals that they use. So it's, I always find it interesting, these differences between Grand Lodges, but also the commonality. It's like they're different families. Like, you know, the family next door might be a little different than your family, but, you know, we all live on the same block. We're all trying to make the block a better place to live.
Exactly, and yeah.
It's
yeah. I mean, you can travel the ACGL in the jurisdiction, and you still have the opportunity to gain so much knowledge within one Grand Lodge already, and I'm sure it's also the case in other Grand Lodges, of course, but you can see the ritual in different languages, you can see different rituals, or even if you don't understand the language, you absolutely know what is all about, right? And that's what's so great about it.
Interesting. Does the American Canadian Grand Lodge have a charity focus, or that you guys work on? That is I don't know how to describe it, a charitable entity that you have, that you sponsor, or?
Yeah, we have a very close relationship to our Shriners. We have also an European temple, European Shrine Center, which is called the Emirates Shriners, and by chance, I'm also the past potentate of Emirates Shriners 2018. Oh. And there is a very close relationship to the Shriners, and we always support our Shrine Brothers over there. But also, every Grandmaster has its own charity project, of course, ongoing. And very broad variety of charity is ongoing. The German Red Cross, with the DLRG, which is the German Association for the Rescue Swimmers. So we supported them in the past. So it depends on the current Grand Master or the current focus on the community or society. And then we focus on that Ukraine crisis, which was a big issue, or the earthquake in Turkey. Mm-hmm. That was supported due to the close relationship also, as we have so many Turkish and Turkish-speaking Freemasons in Germany. Of course, there's a close relationship to the Grand Lodge of Turkey. That's why we really made a big donation to the earthquake victims over there through the Grand Lodge. And yeah, that was
That's terrific. Yeah, that's.
So you're a Shriner. Are you also part of any other concordant organizations? Scottish Rite or York Rite or any other, or do they have those in Germany?
Yeah, we have them as well. So I'm a Scottish Rite Mason as well, 32nd degree. I just became one in
October. You're a very busy guy.
Yes, and actually I also have a profession and a 2-year-old daughter, and family is also very important. But beside that, I'm pretty active Mason, yeah.
Is your family here with you?
No, unfortunately not, because the 11-hour flight was a little bit too long for my 2-year-old daughter.
I can imagine. That doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun.
But hopefully in South Carolina, they will be with me then, you know?
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah. Looking forward to have them with me.
Excellent.
Were you at the last biennial session in Washington, D.C. last August?
No, unfortunately not.
I was able to have lunch with your Sovereign Grand Inspector General, your SGIG. Him and had lunch with him. It was really wonderful.
Nice.
And I all four from Austria, and the General Secretary of Scotland, and it was really fun to rub shoulders with all these men from all over the world. It's truly this is that case as well. You're rubbing, meeting people you would never have an opportunity to meet.
Exactly, exactly.
Especially a fellow June birthday. I'm a June birthday as well.
Oh, nice, cool. Yeah, they see.
So if I can get it back to Mason.
Right? Oh, whatever.
You're the senior Grand Warden currently. Is it usually a 1-year term, or do you progress every couple of years?
I mean, it comes a little bit from the history due to the fact that many of the brethren were active military, and that's why we still have the 1-year term. Yeah. So mostly the Grand Masters serve for 1 year, and then they get re-elected for another year. Mm. But mostly it's a 1-year term, yeah.
Interesting.
And are you is it a progressive line? So you would start up junior grand warden, or is there an heir apparent? You're appointed as a position senior grand deacon or marshal or something, and then that's the guy we should all vote for.
It's a progressive line in our Grand Lodge. So of course, anyone can be nominated from the floor. That's in our code, of course, but we focus on to be a progressive line to have the knowledge which you gain from the junior grand warden to the senior grand warden, deputy grand master, and then grand master, if the craft will.
Yeah, there's definitely, I always have a battle in my head about you definitely want the most competent person to be elected as for these positions, but also there's a like you just said, a great deal to be gained from being the junior grand warden and keeping your eyes open and seeing what's going on and listening to what's going on around you.
That sums up pretty well, I think, for the junior grand warden office, just to listen and to learn a lot. I learned a lot during my junior grand warden term. And to understand the Grand Lodge even better. Of course, you're also in appointed positions before getting elected to a junior grand warden. But I think that was the most important part, to understand the administrative part also of the Grand Lodge, and then to senior grand warden open up the opportunity to actively bring on what you learned in your junior grand warden station. So that was, I think, one of the best lessons I had so far. Yeah.
We just had the senior grand warden of New Jersey recorded with him, and he was talking about kind of a program they've implemented where the senior grand warden is communicating with all of the junior wardens across their jurisdiction, and the deputy grand master communicating with all the senior wardens, and so that as they progress, those that assume would progress in the lodges as well will then be familiar with who that grand master is as they both move into office. So there will be a recognition feature as well as an open communication opportunity. I think that's a great idea. I'm absolutely going to seal that and recommend it.
We need to consider that as well in our Grand Lodge.
It's a great idea, isn't it?
Definitely.
To have that
definitely.
Open communication. And so he's meeting quarterly with the junior wardens across his jurisdiction, sometimes virtually, sometimes in person. But what a neat opportunity to develop that communication and flow.
And also being transparent as well, being approachable. And I think this is also something we need to work, not we as a Grand Lodge, but we as a brotherhood. And the grand line of in the different grand jurisdictions, I think this is something, transparency, being approachable, and being still true to our ancient landmarks. Yes, I know that's important as well. But as I said in the beginning, to find the right balance between those two things, I guess, is an even more important future. Yeah.
Do you know roughly how many members there are in the ACGL and other Grand Lodges?
Only in the ACGL we have roughly around 1,000 brethren, but all in all in Germany it's about 20,000.
Wow.
So I was born in the 70s. Back then there were two Germanies. With the reconsolidation, that's not the right word, the reunification of Germany after the end of the Cold War, is most of the Masonic activity in the former West Germany, or has it spread across East Germany? Or
we have Freemasonry in the entire Germany, but you can tell from our lodges, the American Canadian Grand Lodge, the focus was more on the western part. But we also have lodges in the eastern part in Berlin, and which is a Berlin outpost. So fraternal greetings to those brethren. And we have their lodges as well. And you can tell, you can see the focus, and you can see this separation from back then in the history, of course. But I think Freemasonry is spread out through all Germany. Yeah, definitely.
Is there a lot of cross-collaboration between the Grand Lodges as well as membership? Are men members of multiple Grand Lodges and multiple lodges?
Yes.
Or is it, I'm only ACLG?
No, there is a very close collaboration. We also have a Senate, and this Senate has members from all five Grand Lodges, and they are the, let's put it that way, the executive board of the United Grand Lodges of Germany. And there is a very close relationship, and We are actively working right now on the topic of membership, like how can we unite and be one brand, one face. That's why I love all the presentations just last days. And to even gain brethren, to gain membership, and to be present, to have a united campaigns in a jurisdiction. And that's why I'm also a friend of, we have such a strong brand. That's why I love the Aldi presentations. Yesterday, I think it was. And we just sometimes really don't play that out, you know. And there is so much potential, so much heritage we can talk about, we can really advertise as well. And I think one point was very important, that even COVID just made it more important. And I think it will be even more important now and for the future generations, and for young men to have a steady source where they can be themselves, and to find role models, to find also calmness in this busy world, you know. That was, for me, as I said, I'm 38 years, I'm turning 39 in June. For me, something very important, to find a calm place also where I can reflect myself, my profession, and to be, Brother Arda amongst the brethren, and share ideas. And that was, and I think that will be even more important in the future, I guess.
That's great. Other than what you just mentioned, is there any other sessions or conversations or things that you've heard this weekend that stick out in your mind that are important? That
I would love to attend the World Conference as well in Brazil.
Yeah, Brazil. Yeah, that sounds like fun.
But I guess won't definitely come to that, because it will be 24-hour flight.
Oof.
With several stops. And it's going to be challenging, but I would love to be a part of that as well in Brazil. This is going to be great. And we try to bring all the ideas. That's a little bit the challenging part. As we are in Germany, as we are in Europe, not everything can be adapted in Germany due to legal reasons, tax issues, or whatever reasons. It's not always a one-to-one copy. We can't do everything on a one-to-one copy, but we really try on working on several issues. The membership system is the best practice, best example. We had issues to adapt the system in Germany due to country code issues, due to the given zip code issues and so on and so forth. But I have to say, there is always a huge support around the globe, because they know what we're dealing with. And I can give you so many examples. Shriners, if there is something adapted, they always need to think about as well, because we, in our jurisdiction for Shriners, Emirates Shriners covers 23 countries.
Oh, wow.
So it's not only Germany, so it's entire Europe. So from Turkey, Switzerland, France, etc., etc. So there are many, many languages, many countries, many men we bring together from different countries. But always we see such a huge support that they want to solve these issues, so we can work for the craft, for the brotherhood, and to bring forward.
So, and how did you get introduced to Freemasonry?
Oh, that's a very nice story I have to tell. 2007. I started studying business administration in Göttingen, Germany. And Göttingen is a very, very famous student city in Germany. It's their university is traced back to the 1700s. And it's a very, very traditional university town as well. And we have, Göttingen is known for having 80 different university fraternities.
Oh, wow.
And for the very first time in my life, I have to admit, that was the first time that I even heard the word fraternity. And when we started studying in Göttingen, many booths were set up where you could go and learn more about fraternities in general, but also of the specific fraternities in Göttingen. As I said, 80 of them were in Göttingen active, or were back that time. And just to give you a rough number, Göttingen has a citizenship of 130,000 maybe, but 45,000 of them are students.
Oh, wow.
So the entire city is dependent from students. And so they have their activities, and I wanted to learn more about them. And I was also invited to three fraternities just to learn and see their houses and etc. And I've been there, I've been on many parties, but at the end, I have to say, I couldn't find that what I was seeking back then. And I said, that's very nice, but this wording brotherhood, fraternity, didn't let me go. And I did research and etc. And while doing this research, for the very first time, I saw the masonry, Freemasonry wording for me. I said, well, what is that? And then I researched that. And I, for weeks and months and etc., I want to keep it a little bit short and don't want to bother you guys. But then I researched it and I said, oh, that's interesting. And then I researched Freemasonry in Göttingen. And there was one lodge. And I contacted them. They were very friendly brethren. Today I can say brethren, but back then gentlemen. And they invited me to their guest evenings. Our German brethren have the guest evenings once a month where you can go. And I visited them. And then there are public speeches, public presentations about different topics. It can be about masonry, but it can be also about any other topic. And then I went there, I think, two or three times. And after a couple of months, I was on vacation at my parents' place again. And I had a book about Freemasonry in German, in my bag. And my dad saw this this book about Freemasonry, and then he said, because we are Turkish, we have Turkish heritage, but living in Germany since 48 years, and my parents obviously, and my dad saw this book and said, what is that Freemasons? And I said, it's German word is Freimaurer. And he said, he played that very well. And I said, Freimaurer? And I said, yeah, Dad, you know what? It's awesome. They do this, they do that. And they based on these principles and everything. That was for the first time I could speak with someone about Freemasonry, even though he had no idea about Freemasonry. That's what I thought. And what happened then is, after a couple of days, he said, hey, come on, let's talk about this Freemasons, you said? I said, yeah, yeah. And then we've been talking about that. And then he said, yeah, but what do you think? And I said, hey, you know what? I mean, I love the idea to join a Masonic lodge. And there is one in Göttingen. And he said, really? I said, yeah, yeah. And I'm even attending their guest evenings. He said, oh, what about if you attend our guest evenings? I said, what do you mean? I still get goosebumps. And I say, what do you mean? He said, yeah, I'm a Freemason. And he never talked about that.
Oh, wow.
It's in Germany, it's a little bit different. That's what I said. There are differences. Mm-hmm. German Freemasonry is still very secret, private. I don't want to say secret, but private. And not everyone is showing that he is a Freemason. Sometimes Masonic books are even closed in shelves and so on and so forth, and or hidden. And that was the case with my dad. Of course, my dad was away every Wednesday, but my dad was also away any other evening for being active for the community or for the Turkish community and so on and so forth. He was very active. So that's why I never questioned that specific day, you know. Uh-huh. So I only knew he's away in a conference again, or he has a meeting with someone. And yeah, and then that's how I came to Masonry. 2010 it was. Yeah.
Wow. So did you join your father's lodge or the one in
Exactly. Yeah. But his mother lodge is also very interesting. It's a German-speaking lodge. Mm. He was then also an active member of that newly consecrated Turkish-speaking lodge, which became my mother lodge.
Ah. Yeah. Wow. Excellent.
Yeah. Fascinating.
That's a terrific
story.
That
is a fabulous story. What
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to being able to share it with all the brethren. Yeah.
That's neat.